Well, I realize that has nothing to do with this presentation, except for the medical education component. I am a research study coordinator in the Department of Family and Community Medicine in Dallas at UT Southwestern, and I work with all of the residents, and we have a pipeline of programs for community research for the medical students and the residents, and they do community-based research during the residency. So this is actually the project of Lisa Jolly, who is the first author on this, and she did this study during her third year of residency. Fortunately, she wasn't able to be here because she lives in the Virgin Islands. I have no relationships to disclose. So this is just a brief outline of the presentation. I'll just go over background, study objectives, the methods, results, and conclusions. And the background, again, is preaching to the choir here, so there are several disparities in breastfeeding initiation. These include age, marital status, race, ethnicity, education level, and socioeconomic status. And the lowest rates were reported among African American infants. And doing a literature review, we found that the male partner support is very important in a mother's decision to breastfeed. So when this study came about, Lisa was doing her residency and did some rotations in OB-GYN and in the neonatal nursery, and she was starting to realize, along with the other residents, that the African-American mothers were not breastfeeding. And she talked to a few other people and just wanted to know why. And they had said that it was because of the men. And so they really wanted to know if this was true. So they wanted to go into the community and determine the knowledge and attitudes towards breastfeeding among African American men. So they designed a cross-sectional study and partnered with three barbershops in the Dallas area. They surveyed African-American men that were either waiting for their hair appointment, or they were getting their hair done, or just afterwards hanging around, because a lot of them would stay there for a very long time. And they created a survey that was based on Pollock and colleagues. In 2002, they published a survey on the knowledge and attitudes in multicultural men, but it wasn't focused just on African-American men. So they replicated this survey, made a few modifications based on pilot testing with the men in the community, and then gave it to them in the barbershop. And it was done between February and June of 2012, so it was about 4 months long. The survey was 33 questions. They also gathered some demographics, knowledge, attitudes, and involvement in breastfeeding. So they asked them if they had ever witnessed anyone breastfeeding before, whether they had been involved, if they were fathers, and whether they would want to be involved. And I mentioned the pipeline of the programs and community action research, and so this was in fulfillment of the CARE program, which was in the residency. So there's, if you want any information about that program, the citation is up there. So here are the results. So just some basic characteristics. About half of the men were ages 26 to 40, and I looked since I just included that on here, but the other half was split as 18 to 25. There was about 25%, and then the other 25% were over 40. A majority were born in the U.S., and most of them were very educated. So 46% had some college or technical school, and 32% had a college degree or higher. 60% were single, and half of them were fathers. So when we asked them if they had ever seen anyone breastfeeding before, only 84% said yes. So it was a majority, but I was kind of surprised that there were still 16% of men that hadn't seen anyone or said they hadn't seen anyone breastfeed before. When we asked their infant breastfeeding preference, a little over half said breast milk. Then we also asked whose responsibility it was, and two-thirds said it was the mother and the father. The other third said it was the mother's. Then we also asked if they were involved or would be involved if they had children in the future, and 50% said that they were involved or strongly involved. So then we asked them to pick three reasons why they chose either a breastfeeding preference or a formula feeding preference. And the top for those who chose breastfeeding were that it was healthier for the infant and the mother, so that these are numbers, not percentages. So 47 men said it was healthier for the infant and mother. 34 said it's because of a stronger an immune system. And then 31 said it's more natural. When we asked men why they preferred formula feeding, 26 men said it was more convenient, and 23 men said it was much easier. The other one is 5% said it's much cheaper, or 5 men, not 5%, said it was cheaper, so there was definitely some confusion there. And then 8 said it was because of family pressure. Yeah. So then we asked about knowledge. 86% said that it was healthier for the baby, and almost half of men said that it helps prevent infections in the baby. What was interesting is that 71% falsely believed that women should avoid certain foods when they're breastfeeding. And we did a lot of exploratory analysis with this because it was a small sample and we didn't have a lot to go on. But we did find that there was a significant difference by place of birth. So foreign-born men were more knowledgeable. Then also only 15% knew that it helps prevent breast cancer in the mother. 60% of men knew that smoking or drinking could be passed, the chemicals could be passed on to the baby. And there was a significant difference by age of whether or not breastfeeding was cheaper than formula feeding. So those that were older knew more. They knew that it was cheaper. And then when we asked about their attitudes, 82% wanted their infant to be breastfed. So that was pretty high. 16% thought that it made women's breasts sag or hang later in life. And 15% of men thought it would interfere with their sex lives. These last two questions correspond, and we found a significant difference by age as well. The older men were more knowledgeable. 28% said that mothers should only breastfeed in their home, and 33% said that breastfeeding should not occur in public. And it was the younger men that thought that they should only breastfeed at home and not breastfeed in public. It was those over 40 that were more likely to not agree with these statements. So our conclusion was that they're really supportive of it, and a lot of them said that they really wanted to be involved and that they wanted women to do it, but yet their attitudes were different. They didn't want them to do it in public. They didn't think they could do it outside of the home. And so there's some confusion there, and there's a need for health education efforts to improve their attitudes toward it and address the gaps in knowledge, as well take away that stigma. And that was it.
Thank you, Tiffany. Any questions for Tiffany?
Hi.
I have two quick questions.
Sure. The questions originally came from Pollock and colleagues, and that was published in 2002. It was a study. It's in the Journal of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Neonatal Nursing. And so that's what we based it off of. And then when we pilot tested it in men, there were just a few little wording changes. As far as how the barbershops were chosen, I don't exactly know. So I'd have to find out that for you.
I know that barbershops have been used in a number of studies of African American men in other health areas, mm-hmm. diabetes and prostate health and things like that. So I know it's a common side of research for African American men.
Yeah, it's a very good idea, but I know that like, there are barbershops in one part of town.
Well, and there was one, I know that there were two in South Dallas, and there was one in Louisville, which is a suburb in north of Dallas, and the resident that did this project is African American, so I don't know if she knew people in those, or when we met with the people at Children's Hospital, if they had talked about going to the barbershops because there were other studies that were going on, because I know that there was a study in Dallas that they did hypertension in barbershops as well, so maybe they'd stay back on that. Yep. In the back, I saw you first. Okay, so the first question, they did not ask about sexual orientation, but that's a good point. The second, what was the second question?
Men, father or not?
We did ask, and about half of them were fathers and half of them were not. So that's a great idea. We did not do that in the analysis to look and see if there was a significant difference between fathers and or not fathers. So, and then the last one, I mean, it's hard to tell. I think that it's a good representation of that area, but we'd have to do more research on that to see if it's all of, because Dallas has so many different pockets, so it may be representative of African Americans in South Dallas, but then that may be different than those in Louisville because that's a little bit more suburban, so.
Thank you for your presentation. I wonder if, so I did some qualitative research down in North Carolina, and some idea that came out was that black men were supportive of their daughter's breastfeeding, but not necessarily of their son's breastfeeding. And so I wonder whether you looked at how, if that
actually
might have been different by the sex of the child.
So they.
Wait a minute, Nathan.
Okay.
Can you clarify? You mean their son's wife?
Oh, the sex of the baby. Okay. You know, we didn't look into that, but that would have been something good to look at to see the sex of the baby. If they were fathers, what children they had, or if they did have children, if it was a difference, but yeah, they didn't collect that. So, it's good. Yeah?
I have a question though. When you ask them the reasons why they would choose the breastfeeding, were those you showed all the answers, or were they more because one?
There were more. Yeah, it wasn't included. Yeah, it was whether or not, whether we included more answers when I did the chart that had the top reasons for breastfeeding preference or formula feeding preference, and she had mentioned that they included an item about the baby's IQ. We did not. What we included was it helps save money, it's more natural, it's healthy for the baby and mother, there's a closer bond between mother and child, and it helps the baby to develop a stronger immune system. That was for breastfeeding preference. For formula feeding, it was formula feeding is more convenient, formula feeding is much easier, formula is so much cheaper, and family pressure. So that included all of them, but it was the breastfeeding that there were a couple extra.
Right there in the bread.
Yep, in the red.
Yeah, I was wondering if
measured the average age of the fathers of the babies who are being delivered in hospitals, because it seems from what you presented that older men were more likely to be supportive or outside the home. So perhaps the younger men were actually the fathers of the babies being delivered.
Yeah. Yeah, for this, we don't have that data right now, but we could definitely get that. That
would be good.
If we had the data from the hospitals of the men that weren't breastfeeding, the age, since we saw that older men were much more supportive. And we can pause, though. Okay. Right front.
As opposed to when it's really in their real life. So I think it would be interesting for you to carry on this study and see what's happening in real life. Interview women just before childbirth, or interview women at childbirth, to see if they're breastfeeding and how their partner feels about it, and interview the partner and that sort of thing, and see if in real life, in a real situation, you get
Yeah, unfortunately, since this resident isn't there anymore, it would be so great to have, you know, someone coming in that's doing this program of community research that would take it and take it to the next level.
Can we have all four speakers come up now for questions so that the panel? This session, this session had a lot of survey-based research in it, so it's a good chance to discuss some of the issues around doing surveys. I know one question that I want to know about, we don't have much information about the babies and what happened to the babies, and we have the mother's self-report in some cases, and we know that was could be a factor in some of that. So before we get to the two questions out there, just anybody want to address how that would factor in, like for your study, Anne, and the state of the babies, like whether they were in special care or not and things like that, and how that would affect?
You don't have
No, it's connected. I can't do it.
So your question is whether they can do
it. Yeah.
So how much? So we know a little bit about what happened to the babies. I mean, in terms of whether they were in the NICU, and we know their size for gestational age.
Yeah.
In the print, because we were looking at initiation, any of the data that we have for the babies beyond, you know, that initial day or so, we didn't factor in because it wouldn't affect initiation. But we know from the PRAMS data, you do get kind of what's going, a little bit of information about what's going on with the baby after the fact. But it is it is challenging because a lot of it ends up being self-report for the PRAMS methodologies with that. So I don't know if that gets at your question.
A little bit. In terms of how do you integrate the knowledge around that? Because
right.
If they're initiating, if they're what the cofactors are, the mother's obesity,
right.
You know, and how that was affecting some of that, and it just seems like it'd be a big confounder.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
So we have that same question. So what about the baby? And so what we're actually going to be doing in LA County is doing a part two of our LAM survey. We're going to call it something else. We're not sure yet, but we're probably going to start it within a year, and follow the moms who actually have responded to our first LAM PRAMS survey, and resurvey them again after the baby's a year old, and ask for the outcomes that have evolved over the time since they previously answered the survey. So we'll be able to compare baseline, what happened during pregnancy, postpartum, and then now, 1 year later, and how is the baby doing? So we'll be asking questions not only of the mom, but of the baby as well.
Okay, good. Thank you. There's